Is there fruit in this person's life that's offering their advice to you? Is there good fruit in their life? Have they shown a track record of hearing from the Lord and making good decisions? Do their relationships, their family, friends, do they bear the benefits of the person's good fruit? Or is there bad fruit there? It doesn't mean that God can't speak through somebody that has bad fruit, but it means you need to be all the more careful of the advice that's been given.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, we have one of David McGee's assisting pastors with us. Welcome to the program, Neil.
Thanks, Bob, and looking forward to get into this scripture today. We're going to be talking about being careful who we receive counsel from, right? Not all counsel is good counsel. Bob, have you ever taken counsel for someone that you realized probably wasn't the best counsel?
Sometimes I didn't realize it until after I had actually put the counsel into practice. So I need more of God's wisdom to help out with that.
And I think that's what Pastor David is going to be sharing about today, is being very careful who you listen to and who you receive counsel from.
That's awesome. Let's jump in and listen to David McGee as he shares verse by verse through 2 Samuel chapter 10.
So we're in 2 Samuel chapter 10. David is king, and last week we looked at his kindness to Mephibosheth and how Mephibosheth was an offspring of Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son. And, you know, David extends his kindness to him, and we saw that as an act of grace, similar to the act of grace that Jesus extends to us, offering to us to sit at his table. So now we pick it up in chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his place. And then David said, 'I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me.' So David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon." Now, we don't really have a long explanation here or in scripture, period, of the kindness that David refers to, with Nahash being kind to him. We believe it probably happened during David's exile that Nahash was kind to him. Nahash and the people of Ammon were actually involved in a battle early on with King Saul. So that kind of fits, it kind of makes sense, because if David was still in the army with King Saul, how would have he really made a friend, if you will, of one of the enemies? So we believe that's when it happened. But again, we don't have a lot of details, and, you know, we could sit here and conjecture, and I could say this, say that. But yeah, I love the saying, where the Bible is silent, we should be. Where the Bible is silent, we should be. Because sometimes as a pastor, sometimes for you as a Christian, somebody will ask you a question. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? And perhaps the scripture doesn't speak especially to that item or to that issue. If that's the case, friend, the best thing you can do is say, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know. Or this is what I think, or this is what I believe. Because a lot of times, see, when you get in that conversation, you start making stuff up. People know it. They're like, "You don't really know the answer, do you?" "Well, sure I do. I'm going to kind of wing it." You know, don't do that. And understand, as a believer too, when somebody asks you a difficult question, because guys, there's a lot of difficult questions floating out there. Amen. Sometimes the best answer is, you know what? I'm not sure, but I'm going to research that question. I'm going to dig in my Bible. I'm going to ask some friends, and I'm going to come back to you. And the person will really appreciate it because, you know, again, if you start making stuff up, they're going to probably know you're winging it and making stuff up as you go. You know, but if you have the care for them to go and research their question so that you might answer their question, that's really going to show them that you care. Notice something. David is extending kindness to Hanun. He's extending kindness. He sent these servants to him to wish him well. And also, probably within this verse, is an overture of a continued treaty, if you will, with these people. Now, let's keep in mind, David at this point, king of Israel, man, Israel's romping and stomping. I mean, they got a powerful army. These guys are experienced. And so this is, again, a graceful act. Now, verse 3. "And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun their lord, 'Do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? here we have two pictures. David's not interested in spying the city out. He's not sending these guys in to spy out the city. We take it at face value in that David was doing this to show kindness. Now, here is this new king. His father's passed away. I think we can take it for granted. He's somewhat of an inexperienced king because his father, who was king, was passed away recently enough where David's going to send these people about it. And he's in a crucial place, a critical place. Why? Because he doesn't really have the experience that he has all the answers. But he's got these guys around him who think they have the answers. But look at the counsel they give him. Now, we're going to see tonight as we go through this chapter, this is horrible counsel. They kind of feed on this guy's possibly his already existing fears, his paranoia, if you will. And they say, oh, what do you think David's doing here? Be careful when you're making decisions who you listen to. Because, friend, it makes all the difference in the world. You ever thought you were going to make a certain decision, you know, go a certain way, and then you talk to somebody, and then after that conversation, you go, wow, gee, I was about to make a really bad decision. And sometimes that's a really, really good thing. But you got to talk to the right people. Because if you talk to the wrong people that time when you're at the crossroads, you're going to make a bad decision. Or at least it's going to help you in making a bad decision. That old saying, you know, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful who you talk to. What we're going to see is this new king, Hanun, he's going to make a bad decision in part based upon the counsel of these men. So that brings us to the first life lesson. Be very careful who you listen to. Be very careful who you listen to. Now, at one time, and perhaps in certain parts of the world, there still is a vacuum of good biblical teaching. In the United States, and in part, and thanks to the internet, and internet's a great tool, powerful tool. But the danger, I think, for most American Christians, most people who follow Jesus in this country, is not a lack of sound biblical teaching. It's a huge buffet of bad, unbiblical teaching. I mean, you get out there on the internet, and you can just, you know, you can, and sometimes I do this, just, you know, I put something in Google just to see, you know, what somebody's saying. And it's just amazing the stuff that you can find out there. Be careful. Be very careful. Here's what Psalm chapter 1 says, the first two verses. Blessed is the man or person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. These verses are so mission critical to a follower of Jesus. It's interesting to me, all the people who have made careers offering advice that are not necessarily biblical in their advice. And I listen to some of them, and some of them are very interesting and very intriguing, entertaining, whatever, you know. And some of these people have some very interesting things to say. Okay, I'm not saying everything they say is garbage, but because, okay, and I'm going to make a generalization. I'm not saying these people are unsaved, but I've heard them give unbiblical advice. And if you're a believer, be careful. Because, you know, if you're at a decision point and you listen to one of these people, or you listen to somebody that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know the Word of God, friend, you can go off in the wrong direction. Now, let's might as well talk about something else too. Well, what if they know the Lord? You know, you still have to sit and really assess, is there fruit in this person's life that's offering their advice to you? Is there good fruit in their life? Have they shown a track record of hearing from the Lord and making good decisions? Are they living fruitful spiritual lives? Do their lives, do their relationships, their family, friends, do they bear the benefits of the person's good fruit? Or is there bad fruit there? It doesn't mean that God can't speak through somebody that has bad fruit, but it means you need to be all the more careful of the advice that's been given. Part of these advisors, I think, were probably immature and inexperienced. And Hanun himself was inexperienced. And there's another thing, you know, in ministry, you know, time cures a lot of things. But, you know, today I was thinking back on some of the mistakes I made early on, and some of the things I've said, and, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 14 years ago. I think I've bought all the tapes up, so you'll never hear them. But, I mean, you know, time cures a lot of things. And that's one of the things you want to look for, too. Is the person an experienced Christian? Even better, are they experienced in ministry? Now, here's the thing, too, that we want to look at this. David's kindness to these people, it was perceived as weakness. They perceived his kindness as weakness. And you know what, friend? That's going to happen. That's going to happen in life. When you extend mercy and grace to somebody, there will be some people that will abuse that. There will be some people that will use you through that. What does that change? Nothing. Not a thing. Because see, you still need to walk in the grace of God. You still need to walk in the goodness of God. It doesn't matter how many people abuse or use you in that sense. Because God will crack some hard hearts through that. So when you're kind to a person, you're doing it for the Lord. If you're motivated by people or people's response, you're going to quit being good. You're not going to keep being kind. Why? Because there are going to be people that don't appreciate it. There are going to be people that use you. There will be people that abuse you. There'll be people that hurt your feelings. And if you're doing it just for people, you're going to stop. But if you're going to do it for God, God will honor that. God honored David in this sense. And David, man, David's extending the olive branch. Now, some people mistakenly think God, his mercy and his patience, they mistake that for weakness and they try to take advantage of it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord, talking about the Lord's return. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish, so he has given more time for everyone to repent. That's why God's waiting. If you've ever wondered why God's waiting, it says it right there in 2 Peter. You know, sometimes I look around the world and I'm like, oh my goodness, even so, Lord Jesus, come. What if Jesus would have raptured the church out a year ago? Well, let me ask you a question. Let's do this. How many of you in the last year that are in here right now, how many of you either came to the Lord or came back to the Lord in the last year? Would you raise your hand? Praise God. What about the last 2 years? Raise your hand. 3 years? Just keep your hands up. 4 years? 5 years? Praise God. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come back 5 years ago? Because all the people that just raised their hands, I mean, depending on their spiritual condition, whether they were, you know, either back, oh, I don't want to get into that. At worst, they wouldn't have got in. At best, they wouldn't have been in a reward. So God's waiting. He's not being weak. He's being gracious. Amen. And notice, you know, I'm never going to be nice again. I can't believe these people. They're being mean to me. I'm never going to be nice to anybody else the rest of my life. He was doing it for the Lord.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Well, let's see how Hanun handles it, verse 4. Therefore, Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away. So Hanun makes things worse. I mean, it was bad enough that he gave ear to these people who really were given bad advice. But then he takes it to the next level, if you will. And this is, I mean, even beyond what we can read and see, this is to an Israelite male, I mean, this is an incredible slam. He was meaning to shame these men. Two things that Israelite male had particular, I guess pride would be the right word, would be the beard and would be their robes. The robe, remember the significance of Joseph with the multicolored robe. And then the beard was, you didn't mess with a beard unless you were in a time of mourning. There was actually something in the Old Testament about not trimming your beard even. And this is what this guy did. He was humiliating these people. And to do so really was, it was like an act of war, if you will. I mean, he was slamming David and Israelites that hard. At verse 5, when they told David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return. This is interesting. When Hanun shamed these men, he also shamed their king. It wasn't just about these servants. It was about this guy's attitude towards King David. Remember that. Next time somebody rejects you sharing the good news, they're not really rejecting you. When I give an invitation on Sunday morning or Thursday night, and I know that there's somebody or some people or some persons that are out there and they're going to reject the invitation, the thing that breaks my heart is not that they're rejecting me or that, you know, it's not going to happen or whatever. The sad thing is, in the fact that they are rejecting Jesus, there are consequences to rejecting Jesus. And when somebody rejects God's servant, they are, in fact, to a degree, rejecting God himself. So remember that when you share. Now, when you share with compassion, when you share when you've been led by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit in order to share and they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting your king. And I want you to notice, these guys didn't say, well, you know, men of Ammon, we're going to declare war on you and, well, you wait till the king gets a hold of you. They just left. They probably knew in the back of their minds what David's response was going to be. And look at the difference between Hanun and David. Hanun wants to shame these men. What does David do? He could have brought them into Jerusalem and say, oh, look at these men. Look what these people of Ammon did to these men. Let's remember this and let's all go to war. That's not what he did. Look at the kindness and the mercy and the how David was so others-centered. When they told David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return. You see David's mercy in doing that? His grace and his love? I think we can take a lesson from that. You know why? Because sometimes somebody will share a weakness with us and we just can't wait to share it with somebody else. You ever heard that old joke? I'll tell it anyway. There's three pastors in their meeting and one guy says, well, you know what? I feel really bad and I need to confess, I've been seeing this woman in the church. And next pastor says, well, I need to confess. I've been, you know, getting money out of the offering plate. And the third pastor goes, man, I've been struggling with gossip and I can't wait to get out of here. But, you know, I mean, a lot of times we expose the weakness of somebody else who's made themselves vulnerable to us through something they're going through in life. Be careful. That's not a real biblical attitude, you know, to somebody says, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this, and then next week in a small group or something, you go, well, you know, I'm not struggling with stealing like Joe over there. My goodness, we need to pray for him, you know. Be careful with that. Incidentally, a little side note here. It's kind of interesting. David makes sure that his ambassadors are pulled back from Ammon before he makes the next move. You know why? Because that's what you do before the battle. Before a war starts, first thing you do is you pull your ambassadors out of that country. That's why it's such a big deal when a country says, well, we're pulling our ambassadors out of Africa, we're pulling our ambassadors out of France, is because quite often that is preliminary to the act of war. Well, what's that have to do with anything? I think it has a lot to do with the rapture. Because before that 7-year battle starts, I believe the Lord pulls the ambassadors out. Verse 6. When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, and from Ishtob, 12,000 men. Now, here's an interesting thing. Let me ask you a question. What should they have done at this point, the people of Ammon? What they should have done is they should have sent somebody to Israel, somebody to Jerusalem, somebody to King David and say, you know what? We're sorry. I'm not sure what we were thinking. We had a bad day. Bad food, something. We're sorry. We shouldn't have done it. The whole thing could have ended right there. It would have ended right there. How many arguments, how many things that have gone wrong in your life wouldn't have gone as wrong if somebody, you, would have apologized along the way. You could have defused the whole situation. You understand that's something we're supposed to be doing? For me, big rule in ministry, apologize quickly. Apologize quickly. You know, I've been in situations where I wasn't even sure what I'd done wrong. And I still apologized. You ever heard that one? You know, if you're married, every night before you go to bed, apologize to your wife. You might not know what it's for, she'll know. But I've actually apologized to some people and said, you know what? I'm not sure what I've done to make you so angry, but I've done something. Please forgive me. And see, what I'm doing in that is I'm setting the tone, hopefully, for the conversation. Because, God, if you're in an argument, chances are you played some part in what went wrong. Maybe a small part, maybe a big part. Apologize for that part and watch what happens. Because you know what? One person can't really argue by themselves. They may try. If they got a big head of steam going, they may keep going for a couple minutes while you continually apologize. But at some point, that argument's diffused. Jesus said this, Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. We misquote this verse and we look at it wrong because a lot of us think, oh, if we go to the altar, you know, and we've got something against somebody, we need to go straighten that out. That's not what that verse says. The verse says, if you go to the altar and your brother has something against you, you've got to get that straightened out. That's pretty, setting the bar pretty high, isn't it? Now, what does that mean? Well, the Bible talks about God's structure, and part of God's structure, I believe, and I don't want to get all into this, but I believe God's structure is for the husband, the man, is to be the leader in the home. Now, I'm not going to spend the rest of the night on this, but what does that mean? What does that, leader of the home, what does that mean? Does that mean he gets to hold the remote? What does that mean? Does that mean he gets to decide all the restaurants you go to? No, maybe. But just realized my wife was sitting in here. No, it means you're supposed to be a leader. What are you supposed to lead in? Well, in the context of what I'm saying now, you're supposed to lead in apologizing. You're supposed to be the leader when it comes to repenting and apologizing, being the one to say you're sorry first. Just when some of you thought that leader thing was sounding pretty good. I mean, that's part of being a leader. It means being the first to say you're sorry. That is being a leader. Life lesson here. Many problems in our lives can be solved with the words, I am sorry. Many problems in our lives can be solved with the words, I am sorry. And yet, man, if there's three words that are so hard for us to say, that's three that are really difficult somehow for us to say. And even when we say them sometimes, you realize what we do? We clarify and justify. And we've talked about this before, but not in a while. When you go to apologize about something for something, never explain why you did it, because that's not really apologizing. Everybody in here has done this, and everybody in here has had this done to you, where somebody goes, you know, I am so sorry that I yelled at you, but you shouldn't have done me like that. Was that an apology? No. I'm sorry I did that, but you shouldn't have looked at me that way. Why? Because we're justifying our actions. Say, I'm sorry, period. Never use I'm sorry, but. You ever heard that thing, but is a verbal erasure? And the fact, it just erases everything that came before that. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have really done that. Now, what are you really saying? You shouldn't have done that. You're not really saying you're sorry. You're saying the other person shouldn't have done it. But how many times are our apologies keyed like that? I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have done it. But you shouldn't have, but. I mean, that's not really an apology. So I'm sorry, period. Most of us live a lifetime doing the I'm sorry, but. So much so that next time you go to apologize to somebody, you might have to grab your mouth. I'm sorry. But with training, you can get where you say I'm sorry and then stop talking. Incidentally, can you make somebody else repent? No. That is not within your power to be able to do that. So what should your concern be? Your repentance. Telling somebody that you're sorry.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that He died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask Him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me, that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead, that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for You all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience his shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.